How is it up in the Peak District today, Sarah?
Sunny.
Yeah.
It's really nice, yeah. I got out for a run, and then I tripped the power with my shower. So there was a mad rush to fix that before recording this. How are you both?
Yeah, I'm good. You're right, Sarah. People, obviously, this podcast is a snapshot, isn't it? Our conversation, but no one knows what happened in the few hours preceding this. I was zooming along the motorway, and my engine decided to start on the dashboard, flashing on and off, and then it came up with a big warning light, and my car started juddering all over the place. I thought, no, I'm going to have to pull into the hard shoulder and somehow get 4G and do the recording there. That wouldn't be very clever at all. So
Oh God,
anyway,
stressful.
it was a bit stressful, but I got home in decent time, so now I'm pretty relaxed. Hi, I'm Cormac.
And I'm Josh.
Welcome to the Living Project.
Be true, live wild.
Hi, I'm Sarah. Welcome to my Living Project podcast.
Sarah's a career coach, podcaster, and trail runner living and working in the Peak District. The wild is her inspiration, and her coaching, when permitted, is often done through walking, and her podcasts are almost always recorded outside. Sarah hasn't always lived where she does, or how she does, though.
Sarah shares with us today her very human journey. She tells us that while living and working in London, she felt unfulfilled. But a question popped up in her head. If not this, then what? She didn't have any immediate answers and felt quite lost. With the help of a life coach, she started to explore the question with curiosity, drawing on past memories of growing up on a farm in Norfolk and spending a lot of time outside. She slowly started to bring a sense of adventure back into her life. It started with a short local walk, extending into finding new places further afield. One particular escape to the Peak District was hugely significant. Simply put, she fell in love with Edel and Kinder Scout. And with the loving support of her family, she eventually relocated there. The positive impact she experiences from being outside, observing nature and meeting passers-by has inspired her approach to working with others, which focuses on connection, playfulness and simplicity. Ultimately, Sarah's story tells us that change is not a linear process. You can't just flick a switch. Change can be messy and it takes time. In Sarah's story, it is clear that when she started doing what she loved, life started to flow again. And things she had to work at previously, like relationships, suddenly came more naturally into her life. Sarah, the Peak District, it's a stunning place, but I remember when I just changed careers and I wanted to become an outdoor person, you know, expedition leader. I didn't really know what it was at that time, about 10 years ago. And I drove up there and I remember coming down over the top and down into Edel. And I just parked the car up and I looked and I thought, I can't believe this. I can't believe that there's somewhere so amazing as this in this country, because I was just completely gobsmacked how beautiful the Peak District is, but particularly Edel, where you live, actually is. It's stunning.
Yeah, it's such a special place. I think I had a similar reaction when I first arrived here. I actually didn't come straight to Edel. I walked here from Bamford, which is about 2 or 3 villages away, and when I think I arrived probably in the evening, so it's kind of dark, and I stayed at the youth hostel, and it was the following day that I walked up to Kinder Scout, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I was just completely giddy with excitement. It was just, I couldn't believe that I'd never been here before. I'd never even known about it. You know, maybe heard about this place, the Peak District, but. And yeah, I just navigated my way round. I had no navigation experience really, apart from a few little walks I'd done outside of London. And yeah, then I just And I just became completely obsessed with the place.
Wow. And now you live there. How cool is that?
Yeah. I still can't believe it, to be honest.
Yeah. So even when the power goes off and everything, you're still able to look out of the windows and go, it's all right, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
Mega. Okay. Well, you know, we've chatted to you in advance, and hopefully listeners know by now that we're really passionate about our relationship with the wild as humans, and we've heard there already, like, you're still pinching yourself that you live in this pretty beautifully remote remote part of the country, up in the Peak District in the Edel Valley. We believe that as humans, we benefit from a conscious engagement with those wild places, you know, up on the top of Kinderscout, and being in the wild, we connect with ourselves, with others, and the planet, you know, as a whole. But more than that, the wild calls us to account and kind of, you know, asks us some pretty powerful questions. Now, we know that you obviously work with the wild in order to facilitate, you know, some powerful questions for people in terms of their career choices and stuff like that. So clearly you also have a relationship with the wild. So I think that's what we'd like to begin with, is we'd love to know a little bit more in detail about your specific relationship with the wild, to you, what the wild means to you.
I often think that I feel like I've been out in the wild if my hair is a complete mess. if I come back home and my hair is all frizzy and out here, and I always think, yeah, that was a bit of a wild day or a wild mini adventure. And it all happened quite gradually for me, really. I started looking into other ways of living when I was still in London. And it started just with walking in my local area, and I loved it so much. It opened up things for me in a different way to how it had before. And then I started venturing out even further from London and meeting new people and finding these new places. And it helped me because I was getting away from work and that kind of office life and commuting all the time, and then just kind of sitting at home in the evenings waiting to do it all again the next day. So it was kind of like a weekend thing to begin with, and I just noticed the difference in me. I could actually go to work feeling fresher, almost like I'd been having these little secret adventures that I wasn't really telling that many people about. And it was definitely helping me get through the day-to-day of being in an office job. And then gradually, I started to join meetups and join other people on walks and meet these amazing hike leaders who gave this opportunity for people to get out of the city and into the countryside. And that really inspired me. And then I thought, hang on, maybe I could do this, because I loved finding new routes for myself as well. So I thought, well, I can bring other people with me and give that to them as well. So then I set up my own meetup group, and I saw the change in people. And my initial thought was, right, okay, I'll be a walk leader. Like, that's the most obvious thing to do. And that's what I kind of started working towards, not in a sense of training, but just getting my confidence up, finding out if that's what I really wanted to do. And what I realised was that, yes, I loved walking outside with people, but I didn't just want to keep doing loads of different walks all the time. I wanted to have this deeper connection with people and really work with people who wanted to change their lives as well, and see how it, because I could see how it impacted them so positively when I was leading the walks or when I was joining other walks. I could see the change in people. You know, kids would go from being all like grumpy about having to go for a walk, and then by the end they'd be skipping about. And there was this girl who she came on a few trips, and she would twirl about and dance, you know, while we were walking. I could just see this change, and I just thought, yes, I want to walk with people, but I want it to be more one-to-one maybe, and yeah, just bring something else to it. So it was all through that connection with being outdoors, you know, initially in London, in the city, in the woodlands and places that I could find, that I could get to at weekends, and then further afield. And it just, Yeah, and then one day I came to the Peak District for just a little adventure and a test for myself to see if I could navigate myself around on a couple of walks. And that's when I really felt that sense of being in the wild. And then I just kept coming back here.
Why did you keep coming? What was it about that sense of wild? Why did you keep coming back?
I think it was a mixture of things. It was the accessibility, because I don't drive, I never have driven. So it was, I could get this little train through the Hope Valley, and all of these little villages were just so accessible for me. So it was like, oh, I don't have to live in London anymore. Because I always thought, because I didn't drive, London was the only place that I could really work and get myself around, because I didn't want to learn to drive, I didn't want to have a car. So that was the first thing. It was the accessibility to the Hope Valley and to Kinder Scout, to this feeling of wilderness. And then when I was walking around Kinder Scout for the first time, there was just so much going on. It was like this feeling of freedom, seeing all these amazing rock formations. That was absolutely incredible. That completely blew my mind, because they look like sculptures. And to see, you know, how the gritstone has been weathered over time. It was just so exciting. And then I think it was also the connection with people. It was people who, you know, smiled at me along the way, or local farmers. It was just the whole experience, and seeing the wildlife as well. That was really incredible. So it was a very different experience to what I'd kind of seen down south and experienced before. I'd never, apart from a few trips abroad, which was a long time ago, hadn't put myself in that situation, especially not on my own. I'd been on a couple of meetups, hiking trips to Snowdonia and things, but to be there on my own was challenging and exciting, and I just seemed to find my way here, and then I just kept coming back, and I wanted to bring some meetup groups here as well. I wanted to bring my own little community here, but that didn't work out at the time, so then I just kept coming back here on my own again, and I did some trail running with a coach, and then eventually I met my partner here, and then I moved here. So over sort of more than a couple of years, probably about 4 years, it just kept drawing me back, because there was so much to explore just here.
Yeah. So Sarah, clearly the Peak District is seeped into your very being, and it has inspired you clearly, and it's your wild place. So with that in mind, I'd like to take this conversation in understanding what the wild means to you a little bit deeper. So the wild, specifically the elements, water, earth, fire, air, are our vehicle at the Living Project for exploring your human journey and the experience. So, you know, water is all about challenge. You know, it's where we find time to reflect and refresh. And then we have earth. That's kind of very grounding. It's where we feel secure and we have develop our values. And then fire, that's kind of where, you know, the alchemy happens in our lives, you know, where we may, as you've already mentioned, things about being in London and you've created a new life, where we burn away something in the past to create something new. And then air is where we like to look at how do we have fun, and where does our confidence come from, and you know, how do we connect with the bigger world around us. So with those elements in mind, I'd like to ask you, which of those specific elements, water, earth, fire, or air, resonates with you right now as you're walking your path?
For me, it's earth. And I have really thought about this, you know, since you asked me in by email as well in the questions. Initially, I did think it was water, because I live right next to water, and it's something that I definitely love the sound of, and I feel connected with that. But I think earth even more so, and this area really does feel like home to me. I'm from Yorkshire originally, but I grew up in Norfolk, which is obviously a really different landscape to here. But here, although my parents are in Norfolk, I feel like this here is home. And I do feel that in a very grounded way. I don't feel like I need to rush off and explore anywhere else or look at anywhere else to live. I'm not saying I'll never leave here, but right now this is really home to me, and I want to find out more about this landscape. I want to find out more about its history and its culture and its wildlife and how we can protect it.
Wonderful. So Earth is what you're resonating with right now. And yeah, I can, from the language that you're using as well, I get a strong sense of that. You talked about the gritstone and the rock formations and the people. It's all, the kind of connecting with the people in the Peak District. So there's something very earthy resonating with you clearly right now. With regard to Earth, we talk about it being about where we formulate our values, so we centre ourselves, where we live and within our communities, and also, develop some good practices in our lives that keep us balanced and centred. So do you have clear values in your life right now that guide you?
I think definitely freedom. That's the one that has stuck with me even before I moved here. That's all I could think about when I used to sit by the window. I was lucky to sit by the window in my office in London. And I just remember looking out there and I just wanted to be there outside. It didn't even really matter where. But I just had this obsession with creating more freedom for myself. I didn't know how to do it, but I just was sat there dreaming all the time. And, in my breaks at work, I'd read about trail running. I'd look at pictures of people outside. I just filled all of my imagination with that. And since then, I've been connecting with it as one of my values. So it's something that I really try to pursue. And I think being here, it reminds me to do that automatically, because as soon as I step outside or even look out the window here, I see this vast expanse of beauty. I can see my local hill from my kitchen window. From here where I am now, I can see like Mam Tor and that range of hills, the Great Ridge. So that reminds me to not get too office or desk based and to get out there. And sometimes I think that a lot of people, and I think especially in the coaching world as well, is that people are often talking about success and having a successful business and making money and all these things. And I try not to get too bogged down in that. And instead I focus on freedom. And yes, of course, I want to work and I want to help people as well through my work. Mm. But that doesn't mean that I have to sit at my desk. It doesn't mean I have to make thousands or, millions or whatever per year. Very much guided by, and it's really in my gut, It's like I really feel it. Like I want to facilitate a life that's mostly spent outdoors and learning about what's out there and then connecting with other people in that way. So that's often why I work with people as well that are less money and business, in the sort of formal sense, thinking. And I'm not saying that way is wrong. It's not what motivates me. It's not one of my values. So I can't share that same drive. So I work much better with people who actually want to create more connection, more freedom in their lives. And I think being here in Edale really helps that and reminds me to do that, because sometimes I do have, the odd day when I'm like, oh, I need to do this, this and this, and then the sun's shining, I'm thinking, well, I at least want to get outside for a little bit. And then that inspires everything else that I do, all the other work that I do that day. So I find that really valuable, and it's something that I really cherish.
And it sounds like, from what you've told us, that it was a bit of a journey to, you know, to find that commitment to value, to live that particular value. And it also sounds like within that value is a commitment to owning, defining and owning your own success criteria. So understanding what success is for you, outside of imposed or traditional concepts of success, but actually considering your own success criteria. Now, so, and that came across very, very, you know, grounded and earth. So I think we've covered earth. We've established kind of, you know, some of the core things that give you your grounding. What I'd like to do is take us back a little bit, because we've kind of touched on it a little bit, like this, you know, community in London and journey to the Peak District. But I'd like to invoke a little bit of water, a little bit of reflection, and ask you about some of the challenges or positive impacts that happened in your life that prompted that deeper level of reflection in you, that prompted you to go on this journey from London, as you mentioned, to working wild in the Peak District.
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, actually, because it wasn't just one giant leap. I think it started with me wanting just to change my job because of silly things like office politics and, yeah, just not feeling very motivated and just repeating the same thing every week, like, which was, you know, it was fine, but it wasn't, I didn't really feel connected with my lifestyle anymore. So I think I just saw myself one day sitting on the sofa in my flat, in this flat that I was living in Greenwich, watching another episode of Come Dine With Me. And I just looked at myself and went, what, this again? I'm doing this again on another weekend. And I just looked up a local walk. Just, I can't remember why, but for some reason I was just drawn to it. And I went on this walk in the neighbouring borough. And it was just amazing what I discovered on that route. And it opened something up. And I think there were a lot of challenges that led up to that moment. It was definitely partly boredom. I think I was starting to feel really bored of the repetition of the same thing day in, day out. And yes, it, you know, it gave me some security and things. And it was this battle of like, well, I've got this far, you know, I've got my degree and I've spent a few years in this job and everything feels very secure. And, you know, I've got this nice flat and, but it just didn't feel as good as I thought it would. And I think I started to disconnect from the world as well. I think I wasn't really pushing myself anymore. I wasn't, it's like I was just kind of existing and not really thinking about what I wanted. It was very strange because I'd grown up, you know, on a farm in the countryside, and back then it seemed very clear what I loved doing, and I loved travelling as well, which I'd done before I went to university. And it's like I'd just fallen out of love with all of those things, almost forgotten them actually. And I think it happened really gradually over time. I think that I started to recognize that I wasn't myself. I wasn't showing up well, you know. I was speaking to my family and friends and all I did was moan. I would moan about my job all the time, moan about people. And I didn't like myself being like that. It wasn't positive, it wasn't inspiring, you know. I could see people's faces drop, you know, and just kind of be like, well, you know, and they would just say, well, change your job. But I just, it's like I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to do. I just felt completely and utterly lost, and I truly believed back then that I was a lost cause. You know, everyone else around me was doing their thing. They were saving up for houses or in great relationships, planning to have children, you know, all these great things, and they were just getting on with it. Whereas I felt like I was kind of getting left behind, but I felt like there was also no hope for me. I just thought, well, I guess I'm just one of those people who'll never know what I want to do or where I want to be. And that there was definitely some shame around that. So when people asked me, well, what do you want to do if you do change your job? I just didn't have an answer for them. And I felt really, really, really ashamed of that because I was in my early 30s. And I just didn't have any motivation anymore, apart from just going to work. And even then, I was calling in sick all the time, sometimes because I was sick, other times because I just could not face going in. And it just sounds crazy now to think back. So I think it is good to reflect on those things. And it wasn't just a magic switch that I just pressed and suddenly I lived in the Peak District. It was a whole process of asking questions, answering questions. I got the help of a coach who lives in Malawi. She's actually from Norfolk as well, just by coincidence. But she really helped me just remember the things that I love and get back in touch with those things. And then I got all sorts of help. I started training as a coach alongside my job. Before that, I was already thinking about all sorts of different job options. So it was just a whole process of curiosity, frustration, playfulness, meeting new people. I just had to do something. And the more that I did, the better I felt. And just gradually, I started to bring more inspiring people into my life. I started to reconnect with the things that I'd loved as a child, like just being outside, seeing animals, you know, seeing farm animals when I was out walking, things like that. It was that connection with nature and then bringing people into that connection that really made a difference. And that's what I always go back to now. If I start to feel a little bit lost again, I think, right, nature and connection with people, and not in a mechanical sense, but I notice it if I've lost it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've learned to bring that back in and to ask myself questions again.
Yeah, and I love that and really respect that. Like, you know, there's so many books that are like 5 ways to change your life. Here is the rule of how to make the change. Flip the switch. Like, it's like, what? Like, I love that there was no map. There was just a beginning. There was just curiosity and exploration and giving yourself, and probably not even knowing that you were giving yourself the time, just knowing that you needed to keep going somewhere rather than keep plodding nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was, for me, one of the really big questions that I asked myself was, if not this, then what?
Yeah.
And to be honest, in some ways it was good to not have some like pre-prescribed thing that I was definitely going to work towards, because by asking that question, it was like, well, what else? And to be honest, even when I left my job in London, I didn't just come straight to the Peak District. I went to live with my parents for about a year. And I went traveling a couple of times on a couple of trips. And yeah, I think it was through all of that that it just kind of brought me back to, I think even being at home, actually, even being at home with my parents helped me to reconnect with that younger self who'd grown up on that farm and to be around people who I was close with. I think I'd been pushing people away for so long. It was so good to be with my parents, to be looked after for a little while. I was always so independent. You know, I love this idea of independence. And it was just so nice to kind of fall into the arms of my parents. And they were just there through every step of the way. They were amazing. They supported me completely. And then when I suddenly said I'm moving to the Peak District, they supported that as well. You know, they didn't try and hold me back. So all of those, I mean, I'm very lucky to have such supportive parents who, although in their heads they may have gone, oh my God, what's she doing? she's left her job and she's got this degree and everything. They never tried to stop me.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Sarah Lister's parents. Sounds like you're awesome. we're enjoying our conversation with your daughter, so thank you very much. Standard little interruption from us. Sarah's clearly benefited from asking herself some powerful questions and reconnecting with herself through exploring her wild places. If you're inspired by Sarah's journey and fancy an opportunity to ask yourself some powerful questions through connecting with others and with the wild, check out our Wild 24 events on our website, www.thelivingproject.life. On these events, Cormac and I will guide you through 24 hours in the wild. It's a powerful opportunity to reconnect with yourself, with others, and the magic of the wild. We reflect, share mindful moments, refresh ourselves in cold water, ignite dreams around the fire, and share the fun of living wild together. We'd love to share it with you, and we hope to see you there. If you'd like to explore working with Sarah to explore your career change, you can find her at www.aboutheadventure.com or on Insta at about.the.adventure. We will, of course, put all her contact stuff in the episode notes. Right, back to the chat.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about this. Right, so we know now you're in the Peak District. You did make the move after you know, through a challenging time, but also sounds like, you know, you described, like, you know, almost like a reawakening of self time, like a slow reemergence and a recommitment to yourself and exploring these values. And you lit this fire and you went to the Peak District. And you've created within this commitment to this value of freedom and exploring questions and continuing to ask your questions, you've created About the Adventure, which links your very clear passion for questions and coaching and your love of the wild. Let's hear a little bit about, you know, the things around About the Adventure and the things that you have created and that you're also continuing to create now, where you are.
So when I first came up with the idea, I think my first website was called Summit Your Success, which sounds exactly like all the other coaching, or a lot of the other coaching courses or websites that you hear about. Again, even though I spent a lot of time blogging on there and things, I was willing to change it because my perspective changed. I wanted to connect more with how I really was rather than what I'd been hearing on business courses and things. My coaching work, it changes all of the time. And I think I'm at a point now, and over the past maybe year or so, that I've felt really, really happy with it. I've felt like I feel really like it's really natural to me now. I think in the first couple of years when I was coaching and trying to put myself out there, I was doing it in a way that I'd been kind of taught to do it through my coaching course and my business coaching course and things that I was engaging with. And I felt like I had to try so hard all of the time to try and get clients, to try and make it a success in whatever way that meant. Mm-hmm. And I remember I actually hired a co-working space in Sheffield, and I would just sit there just trying all day to put myself out there and try and attract some people to my work. And it just didn't feel very good and it wasn't working. So I just decided, and I, by the way, I was also in about $5,000 worth of debt. So there was that pressure behind the motivation, and it just felt horrible. So I decided to take a complete break from it and stop pushing so hard and pay off my debts. So I just took any work that I could basically snap up locally, and that included cleaning holiday homes here, working in the local pub, I took on all sorts of work, and I just kept my eye out for other work that I felt connected with that I could do online as well. And it did me so much good to take that break. And when I started to come back to it, I stopped going to networking events. I'm not saying that all of that is useless. Of course it isn't, you know, but I think I was too focused on that I wasn't able to find my own way of working. So I was just always trying to be taught by someone else who I thought was doing it better than me. And so after that break, I just decided to try and create my own thing. Of course, taking some of the lessons that I'd learned from other people with me, but not being obsessed by it and saying, oh, I have to do this many social media posts a week, or I have to make Facebook videos that I've just always hated making. So yeah, I think I'm always open to change, and I always will be. So I think that going my own way with it has been a much more enjoyable process. And also taking a break from it meant that I could find other work to support me while I paid off my debts, which I've done now. And also now I've kept hold of some of that work, because then it doesn't put pressure on me to go and have to work with so many people per month. So it just comes from a much better place, you know. It's not because I have to pay the bills now. So I think that's been really, really nice.
Yeah. Sarah, so tell us a little bit about what about the adventure represents and what it is.
I remember I was sitting having breakfast one day, and it just came to me, because I was thinking about how I wanted a different kind of brand name as such. And I just love that saying, you know, when people say, oh, well, it's about the adventure, isn't it? And when it came to me, I was just like, I really like that. And I love that, because often I think sometimes we can sit and like try and force an idea or something. And I think it's in those moments, like when you're having a shower, or when you're not trying so hard, that it suddenly hits you. And for me personally, and I know others kind of live by this or want to live by this as well, for me, life is about the adventure. And that doesn't mean to say that there's not other things that are important, you know, as part of our society, or things that we kind of feel that we need to do. It's not to completely put that aside and not be realistic. But I always think that if I can focus on my life as an adventure and help other people to do that, then it helps me. I think it really helps with simplicity. It's like life can be really complicated if you want it to be. And I just, when I left London and everything, I just wanted to strip everything back. So I got rid of all my belongings, you know, I gave them away on Freecycle, I sold some, I downsized, I went back to my parents' house with a backpack after living in a 2-bedroom flat. And that just felt really, really good. It was like, now I don't have to worry about where I'm going to put all my CDs and my books if I want to go abroad, or if I want to, you know, live in a tent for a year or whatever. I didn't have to worry about that anymore. So I think for me, it's definitely about simplicity, kind of uncomplicating life, because it can feel so trapping. I remember feeling very trapped by commitments to paying off debts, for example, trapped by stuff, by things. And I'm not saying that everyone should just, you know, only have one backpack of stuff. But I think a life of simplicity and freedom as a focus, rather than money, success, house, you know, responsibility, I think that can be a really beautiful way of living. And I was out running maybe a couple of months back, and it just suddenly, this thought hit me, and it was, well, what if success to me, or living a good life to me, is that I just get to go and be out in nature every day that I, you know, that I feel up to it. What if that is the most successful thing to me, that I can just go and enjoy that part of my day? And that just felt like such a relief. It's like, well, that's possible now. It's possible right here and now. Like, you know, this idea of a success in the future is, it can be quite exciting and motivating, but actually if we look at now and what we can do with what we have right here, that's really empowering, I think, as well. So I think I like that idea of life being about an adventure. And it doesn't, for me, it doesn't have to, it used to be, but it doesn't have to be anymore like, you know, a massive long trip to somewhere in South America. I used to have big dreams for things like that. And although I'm not saying I'm never going to do those things anymore, I don't have this need inside me to have to save up the money and, you know, really make plans towards that, because I am really happy where I am now. And anything else is a bonus. So that, and that's definitely what I bring. And I'm not saying that I enforce that view upon others, but I think that I definitely connect really well with people who want to move towards that kind of lifestyle. And I know that it can seem really hard when you've got loads of commitments and responsibilities. I think a lot of people feel like it's just not possible for them. And I used to believe that as well. I used to sit there completely frustrated, looking at other people's lives, going, how come they get to do that? And it was a very, very slow, gradual process, and letting go of some stuff and some thoughts and some beliefs that helped me through that. So I never tried to lie to people and say, you'll get this sorted within 6 months or whatever. Because I think if you put pressure on it, then it makes it much harder and not quite so natural. Whereas I think if you can just bring it back to now, like, you know, a little step each day, then that's the way that I like to work with people. Like, what, you know, I like to ask the question, what's just one step you can take today? If you take your eye off the end result and you just look at today, what do you need? Then I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's a very healthy perspective. You've had your own unique human experience, which many of us can relate to, you know, feeling trapped in someone else's expectation, you know, your world of your life in London, and not feeling quite right. And then bringing in questions to find some light and some potential answers that could take you forward. But you don't, whatever your experience is, you don't impose that solution on anybody else. You've really taken it back to into the now, so allowing people to express and explore their very own unique experience. So we've learned a lot about your values and the fire within that, you know, those questions that got you, shaking you up and enabled you to make some changes in your life. So let's look at air. So you've hinted at a few things. You've said that, I mean, you live in the Peak District, you love going out in nature and you go running. You know, something that Josh and I are doing at the moment is doing a lot of running, and that is for me my air, and it's a lot of fun. But I wonder, you know, where else you have fun in your life right now?
It's definitely with my partner Zach. He is the funniest person I know. he you know that sort of laughter when you just lose yourself. He seems to have this ability of making me just, sometimes I can be a little bit serious. Yeah. I can sort of get, when I'm outside, I'm not so much like that. But when I'm maybe working on something or I've got something planned in my head, I can get, I'm a Leo on star sign. So I can be a bit focused on that and have this fire in me that's burning to do that one thing. Whereas
coach's curse, everything is so meaningful.
And then Zach, when he comes home from work or on a morning, on a weekend or something, I just, you know, I laugh to the point of tears, till my stomach hurts, till my throat hurts. And it's just absolute silliness. Mm. And so he just breaks that that kind of one-way focused serious side of me. I think I get my serious side maybe from my dad. And yeah, Zach has the ability to just smash that to pieces. And I absolutely love that.
Something that you did say in your bio that you filled in before, you know, coming onto this podcast, you know, when talking about your life in London, and you were saying that, you know, in order to make your life fulfilled, maybe you just needed to watch one more Come Dine With Me and all would be good. Or you needed to maybe find that relationship, you know. So, you know, there's that sense of searching for something to fill the gap. But when you actually turned that all on its head and slowly, slowly started to ask these questions and explore who you were and give yourself permission to make these changes and just do your own thing and try to find some currency in value in yourself, you made those changes. And it's so interesting, isn't it, that now you're now telling us about Zach. So how did you meet Zach, who's a significant person in your life right now? Well, you were doing something you just loved doing with no expectation that you needed to fill a gap. And then suddenly, you know, a run in the snow, and suddenly Zach appears.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually going through a phase at the time where I was thinking, right, I'm just not going to get into any new relationships. I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
Because prior to that year, like during uni, after uni, my entire focus was on relationships. It was like that was the only thing that I tried to find to give me direction in life.
Mm.
And that put a lot of pressure on relationships. And I think that I noticed that within myself after a couple of difficult breakups. And I mean, it wasn't even like I thought I have to find out who I am or what I'm about. It was just like a step-by-step thing. And the more that I did and I was curious and the more people that I met, I just felt lighter somehow. And I didn't feel like I needed a relationship. But yeah, like you say, funnily enough, that's when Zach just appeared. And we just completely hit it off. And our first couple adventures together were in the snow during the Beast from the East. And again, I mean, I was giddy. Like it was so much fun. And we just went for a little walk up along Grimsbrook, and we were looking at the icicles, and I just felt like a kid just playing in the snow. And it just felt absolutely amazing that I could connect with someone in such a natural way, and I could just be myself. And I've always felt like I can just be myself with him. I don't feel like I have to try so hard in relationships anymore. I'm not saying I don't make any effort, but I don't feel like I have to like force someone to to show that they love me, kind of thing. So that's been a real breakthrough, because I had got caught up in doing that for about 10 years, which is very, very, very exhausting. And no wonder I had no energy to look into my career.
I love that. And, you know, when, as you're talking, you can just hear lightness, fun. I love the use of the word giddy, one of my favorite words. And like, yeah, just like just feeling like a kid. And we know that that's that thing about air that actually we all kind of, we need that. And we need the, you know, as you said, life can be very complicated and very serious, and every now and then, or hopefully, you know, more often than not, by doing the things we need to, we can be in that airspace, in that fun space, and that confident space of not having to try, just owning ourselves and letting it ride. Also, that air is about kind of, obviously, isn't it, about going from self to, like, you know, going out into the world and connecting with, you know, the world, and thinking, you know, what do I want to contribute to, and how might I contribute to it? And obviously, you're working as a coach with people who they themselves are wanting to change something in their lives, and you're supporting them in that. So that's obviously something that you are doing, that which is, you know, focused on others, but which also gives you fulfillment. But I'm just wondering if there's anything else currently in terms of societal issues that you would like to, change or contribute to, or that you do, that you are involved in changing or contributing to.
I think on a very small scale at the moment, I want to think about pollution, in particular in terms of litter. And I say locally just because that's where my current knowledge is. And I do see a bit around the Peak District. And the thing is that I think this, you sort of see people calling people out and saying, oh, you know, there's loads of litter here, who's dumped this and that kind of thing. And people are understandably very angry about it. But I'm trying, I haven't really talked to anyone else about this yet, but as well as doing a few litter picks locally, I also do think in the back of my mind, how else can we talk about this that isn't with hate and anger? How can we actually reach people who maybe aren't my followers on social media, for example, and tell people what to do? So I do wonder about that, and I think about ways of connecting with people. And I think essentially it does come down to helping people to connect with nature in a deeper way. So it's not just, oh, I'm going to go and conquer Kinder Scout. I think connecting people with this place even more, and obviously other places as well. So I'm trying to think of ways of doing that that isn't in a very telling way, telling people off or telling people what to do. Because I know that can seem like the most obvious way and the only way. But I think maybe, although it might take longer, I think there are other ways of doing that. But I think most importantly, it's about reaching the people who are actually littering, because I think otherwise we're it's like this thing of like preaching to the converted. Because I hope that most people who follow anything that I put out there aren't spreading litter. In fact, I trust that they're not, not knowingly anyway. So yeah, that's definitely one thing that I think about a lot. And I think another thing that I would like to move towards helping is in the careers kind of education arena, because when I was younger, I really didn't feel any connection with what I might do in the future. And I didn't enjoy school at all. University I quite enjoyed, but I didn't feel like there was any really inspiring support available that I could actually connect with. Yes, there was careers advice and forms to fill in, but I think that for people to, I feel very grateful now that I feel clearer on how I want to work and where I want to work. But there were 10 years of floating around, wondering if that was it, wondering if I just wasn't meant to feel connected with it. And for context, I used to work as a data analyst. So I think, and that was just something I kind of fell into as well. It was never planned. So I think definitely helping, not necessarily schools, but helping young people to feel a little bit more excited about what work they might do after they finish school or university or apprenticeships or whatever, and to really be aware of the opportunities that are out there. And, maybe they're not even created yet. Maybe they can create their completely unique own opportunity. Mm. So that's definitely another thing that I would like to work towards. And I have worked with a couple of organisations a little bit on that. But I would like to do that on a bigger scale.
That's really inspiring, Sarah. When I was at school, admittedly, it was a long, long, long time ago.
Weren't you writing on slate?
Not far off, John, not far off. But the height of people's ambition was to go and get an apprenticeship. Not saying that's not a bad thing, but no one told us there was a possibility for even an averagely achieving student to go on and be a marine biologist, for example. There was just no sense that was any of these things were possibilities. And I really loved what you just said was even allowing people to believe and think to go beyond what's already known and maybe be part of creating something that we haven't even thought about yet. That's so inspiring and uplifting and wonderful to hear, particularly at the moment. You know, last week there was a big publication in the national press about the Prince's Trust research and survey on young people and how they're feeling a lot of anxiety and not much hopefulness about their futures. I think what you're highlighting is something really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is for me is to not think like really big to begin with and to just start really small, maybe even locally. And I think it needs to be more than just going into a school or into a bunch of children and just say, you know, just giving a presentation. I think just standing there and saying, this is what I do and this is how I did it, that can be, yes, it can be inspiring, but actually I think asking children questions and not just, you know, what job do you want to do, what do you want to do when you grow up, but actually really finding out about who they are and what they care about. And yes, of course that might change in the future, it probably will, but I think sometimes if you ask questions rather than, you know, tell people what I do or what I've done is really exciting, because by asking those questions you sort of trigger imagination, and not just with children, with anybody.
Yeah, I totally agree that I love that. Yeah, that it's about exploration and truly empowering someone to believe that they have to just go on the exploration, to explore, to not, you know, it's not all about this is what I have done, you know, follow my lead, but actually walk your own path completely and totally through questioning, through exploration, and that path is enough, that actually the structures and the societies and the prescriptions are only a formulaic path that is set in front of you, and that actually there's loads of little paths and all of them are enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, I really believe that's what life is about, and I don't necessarily think that I'm just going to stick with what I'm doing now forever and ever and ever. Yes, I really love it right now, and I can't I'm not sure what else I would do, but I'm not like going to just stick myself here. I'll do it for as long as I enjoy it and love it, and then if that changes, I'm always open to at least thinking about other paths or even other branches. I mean, creating a podcast is almost like another little branch as well. It's about opening up the conversations and inviting people into that as well, into what I'm creating. And I really want my work to include other people. You know, I don't think that I have this perfect life or perfect answers. I think it's just about bringing it out as a conversation without shame, you know, without saying, actually, maybe I didn't enjoy those 10 years of work. It doesn't mean that I have to keep doing it for another 20 or 30 or more. So taking a really open approach, and not just with work, but with, you know, with other things in life as well.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Here's one for you, Sarah. My granny used to say to me in a very thick Cornish accent, "Keep opening doors, my handsome. You might like what's behind them."
That's brilliant. I love the accent as well.
Okay, well, let's see if we can top your your grandmother's wisdom. That'll be pretty tough, but we're almost coming to the close of this wonderful conversation. Sarah. So I'd just like to ask you if you could share with us maybe any thoughts or some wisdom with us and our listeners to finish with.
Yeah, I think one thing that I'd like to put out there is to really let yourself be blown away by nature. And I know that not everyone lives in the hills or the mountains. So I think if you can find any way, and I found that in Deptford in London. So if I can find it there, then you can find it where you are as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, and by that, I mean maybe to put away your phone or any distractions or any particular mission of destination while you're out, but just to step out of your door, lock up, and just be guided by curiosity. And I know that a lot of people are now at this current time in February 2021, a lot of people are feeling quite confined to where they live, but I think even then there will still be places that you haven't discovered yet. And maybe they've caught your eye, you know, maybe you've seen a pathway or a little bit of woodland. And I think if you can go and put yourself there and really be there, and by that I mean maybe looking up, noticing, even just looking at your feet, I think can be really grounding, and seeing what's going on below, what's going on up above, what nature you spot around you. And through touch as well, I think maybe if you can put your hand in some water or touch the bark of a tree, anything that comes to you, I think that can be the most powerful part of anyone's day, just to really, really connect with where you are. And yeah, just let yourself get lost down a rabbit hole of curiosity.
I love that, almost reversing the sentence. Wander deliberately to get lost, to wander at the state of wandering.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Mm. Thank you so much for that final piece of wisdom, and thank you so much for joining us on the Living Project podcast today, Sarah. How have you found it?
Oh, it's been amazing. You can probably hear the excitement in my voice, because it's just such a nice opportunity to talk about what goes on in my little tiny life here in Edel. And yeah, it's just a real pleasure to be on your show and to talk to you both. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Wow, what an inspiring conversation with Sarah. Sarah clearly has a powerful relationship with the wild, both in her personal life and also in her work, where she works alongside the wild through her coaching and through her podcast, engaging with other people who are also asking questions and exploring the potential for change.
The word that Sarah used most, and I was listening in our conversation today, was curiosity. Curiosity, they say, kills the cat. But I think in this case, Sarah's curiosity has led to her finding the cream. It's not always been easy. She told us about moving to London, where the streets were paved with gold, perhaps to start with. But clearly, over time, that was shown not to be the case. But Sarah, through asking powerful questions, has been able to wrestle herself away from what perhaps others expect of us, and enabling herself to find some freedom to explore her true nature and to walk her own path. So we look forward to seeing you next time, guys.
In the meantime,
be true, live wild.
You've been listening to The Living Project with Josh Bulpin and Cormac Davey.
Enjoyed it? Please subscribe, follow, rate, and share with everyone you know. See you next time.
Be true, live wild.